Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Indeed, it is a blessed day in Christ Jesus. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God with you. I want to shout out to those of you that are listening here in the United States and Iraq and, hallelujah, United Kingdom. Welcome. Welcome, Algeria and Indonesia. Welcome. And welcome every country that I have not named that are listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, hey, call us at this number. Any comments or questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, hey, just contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're given to you. Praise be to God. So glory, glory, glory to the Most High God. He is Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Today is Friday. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what this means. Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And I'll be joining them, praise be to God, on this Friday and Saturday. So this part of the broadcast is devoted to Heart to Heart. And as we await for my brother to come on, I want to take this opportunity and time once again to thank our Lord who has given us this open door. I thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for all you that have been listening. And I want to say unto you once again, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in your God who is faithful. Amen. All your petitions you lay before him, thank him for being faithful. Oh, I know you don't see it manifesting yet, but it will. If you have asked according to the will of God, amen, hallelujah, then it shall be done. He said, asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He said, everyone asks to receive it. Glory to God. Our God said, everyone that have asked, ask what? Just plainly just saying words? No, they ask by faith. And he said, everyone that have asked by faith, because remember in James he tells us, ask in faith, nothing wavering, receive it. Amen. That's the promise of God for us. So whatever you have asked God for, if this was in line according to the word of God, he said you shall receive. Now, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless you once again, brother. God bless.
Shalom, shalom, my brother. Shalom. And to all that listening, shalom. Good.
Amen. Amen. Amen, brother, amen. Once again, rejoice. And God said, I say again, rejoice. Hallelujah. Glory
yes.
to God.
Let us rejoice. Let him, let the enemy hear the rejoicing coming from the camp. Come to
yes.
camp from the saints.
Hallelujah.
And
glory.
He hear the sound of rejoicing.
Mm.
That tells him that
yes.
he's defeated.
Oh, yeah.
That sends a signal and a message to him. He hears a joyful sound coming from the camp. That
yeah.
means get out of town, devil, hide yourself. They're shouting
yeah.
the victory. They're shouting the victory of our God.
Hallelujah.
So, when the devils and demons hear the shout of the saints, the blood-washed
yes.
saints, he trembles
Hallelujah.
And shake and trembles.
Mm.
They get afraid.
Mm.
So the saints should
Devil.
Shout when they get in the Holy
mm.
Ghost on their knees or standing up and the Spirit
yeah.
of grace and power. They should release the shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I mean,
Hallelujah.
You know, that there is a time to be quiet and there's a time to be, you know, serene and solemn. But, brother, there's more
Hallelujah.
Shouting in the Bible than silence.
Glory.
I thought I heard somebody feeling, but I'm sorry about your little traditions, but there's more shouting in the Bible, all through the Bible, about the victory.
Hallelujah.
How can you be silent about the victory?
Yeah.
How can you be quiet about your king and the Lord of hosts has given you the victory? How can you be quiet about that?
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When people rent, you know, I'm a sports, I love sports. When they cross the finish line, when they end the race, there's a shout. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There is shouting going on. Winning the race.
Hallelujah.
God has decreed that we win. He has not decreed any defeats for us. He has not planned any failures for us. So let's start shouting like we believe that. Now, if you don't believe it, you have to hang your head. I mean, I understand that. But I understand that. And I'm not going to tell you if you want to bow your head and get in the corner, but I'm going to shout.
Amen.
I'm going to let me and the Holy Ghost together shout. Let the victory be heard in the heavens and on the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I was just thinking, this is Women's Handmaidens Night, the honor of the blessed women, wives, ambassadors, evangelist missionaries, just plain the women of God, mothers and caretakers and healers, and we just want to salute you. I was thinking about many a times, I think of something funny, that I used to be witnesses on different places in Chicago by myself, mostly because, not patting myself on the back, I'm just was not scared of the devil or people either. But that don't mean I did foolish or unwise things. But I would go many places on the west side, Turbo side, what they call the Turbo side of Chicago. And taking the word of the Lord and taking the gospel and taking the last warning, the midnight cry, and taking the love of Christ. And often I would come in contact with a ferocious dog. He had plans on taking some meat out of me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all dogs are not, calm, cool, and collective going about their business.
Right.
But I ran across quite a few dogs that wanted to have breakfast and dinner on my leg. And hallelujah. And I had to persuade them that it's not breakfast, not supper time on my leg, okay? And they were always close enough where I couldn't have a chance to run or get away. You know, like Apostle Paul, he had to run and get off a wall, and they let him off in a basket over the wall to run for his life. They never gave me a chance to run, to get away, you know. So
right.
I had to face the dogs. And brother, you got to face these ferocious fellas, and you ain't got a chance to run. You got to face the devil down.
Right.
I shout the name. I look at him, and some of them I could stare down and look at him in the eye, and some of them I had to shout the name of Jesus. I know they wouldn't put me out of church because I shouted the name of Jesus. Brother, you think they'll put me out because I frightened the devil? I had to shout? Well, I had to make a decision. There's a time to shout, and there's a time to be silent. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Praise the Lord. But let there be a shouting in the camp of the saints. Joy shall be coming from us. Let the redeemed declare it in the earth. If there should be any place where there should be joy, I mean heavenly joy, it should be in the camp of the saints. What do you think?
Oh, most definitely, brother. I agree 100%. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes. He's
telling us of the joy.
And
hallelujah.
Thank God. How can you get in touch with a risen Christ and he be touched and quicken you, illuminate you, and you not respond? Some people respond with tears. That's fine. There's a time for tears and weeping. I understand that. There's a time of silence. But there's a time like King David. You know one thing about King David? Whenever the victory of the enemy was, there was a shout. There was a holy shout in the camp.
Hallelujah.
I like my David. So I just, sometimes, you know, I feel it's important to let the devil hear. There's victory, devil, and from the shouts from the camp of the saints of God. That tells that your faith is at work. Okay, then, this is Amazing Night, right?
Amen.
Okay. We have been talking about the four R's: redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. Complete redemption,
Amen.
Recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. Wow. And we had talked about the other side of the coin. Satan would use fear, doubt, unbelief, unforgiveness. So
right.
We have to counteract what Satan has planned to hinder us. Fear, which includes worry and stress. Fear produces worry, stress, and anxiety. You know that, right? So
yeah, right.
If you wanna live in fear, you're gonna shorten your life and your health. Because fear has a direct poison effect on your heart, your endocrine gland, your pituitary gland, and up on your liver and all your bodies. So when you are walking in the fear of bondage and anxiety and worry, you're really shortening your life. So I'm sure the devil
Amen.
Likes that, you know. And it, I'm just telling the saints why the Lord said, fear not, walk in. You know what the Lord told us in Joshua? Be not afraid. Why does he keep saying that, brother? Fear not. Be not afraid. Why do you think the Lord, when the words that come out of the angels, when the angels come, when the Lord comes, or when he comes, he said, fear not. Be not afraid. Well, why do you think that's so important?
Because it'll cause you to go away from God.
Huh?
Because it'll cause you to go away from God is the opposite of faith.
Okay. The Bible talks about several types of fear. The poverty side of fear is the fear of God, which is talking about, you know, just reverence the presence of God and adoring the presence of God and having a great holy awe reverence of your Father. But the fear, the other fear side of fear, the negative side is Satan creates fear, and fear creates ultimate death and destruction. Now, if you don't believe that fear can kill you, and you don't feel that fear can torment you day and night and have you in a psychiatrist and they have to come put one of them fellas on you, have to give you all them shots to calm you down, take you away, you know, fear will create a gateway that the enemy comes in to attack your mind and soul and body. So that, you know, fear is the opposite of faith and opposite of victory. So the tormenting fear that John said, perfect love casts out all fear. Now, there's an understanding why he said that, and you read John, he said, perfect love of God casts out all fear. He that feareth is not perfect in love. So if you're walking and having a fear, you're not walking in perfect love. Leaves an open door for the enemy to bring worry, stress, anxiety, and disease, and really death, really, eventually. So fear, anxiety, worry, anxiety all go together. Now, how do you get rid of that? Sure you can. Absolutely. That's the victory. That's what we shout about. You can get rid of it. You can get rid of all of that. You can conquer all of that. Just got to know the proper antidote, the antidote that the Lord gives us about conquering fears, doubt, fear, and unbelief. Well, listen, a lot of people are walking in fear and worry and anxiety, stress, brother. Is that true? A lot of people under that?
That's right. and sad to say, Christians.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. And, you know, this is why the Lord did not send the pandemic. Let me get this. I haven't said this about 10 or 15 times, but I have to keep saying this. The Lord God did not send this so-called coronavirus 19. Did not. Did not come from the Lord God. He told me, sitting on that couch over there, I was sitting one morning, just like I was sitting in that same place when he told me that Trump was his man, and I was sitting in that same corner. He said, Trump. I said, No, I'm hearing wrong. You know, my ears is kind of, but, you know, you got your little corner that you sit with the Lord, or your little space, you know, where you draw to the Lord. Like Jesus, he drawed away to where that his famous place was in that prayer mountain, Gethsemane.
Yeah.
He got his space to meet with the Lord. In our house, there's a special place we sanctify to meet with the Lord in certain parts of our houses many times, dedicated totally to meeting with the Lord. And everyone should have a place in their house, a spot, a room where they meet with the Lord. Dedicated, sanctified, and blessed is a place sacred where you meet with Christ. Now, why do you think that worry, stress, anxiety, the Lord says in Philippians, worry not, fret not, be anxious, and be not under stress. He said, then he says, let not your heart be troubled, John 14. Why do you think, though, he says those things, brother?
Because the great effect that it can have on us, on all three realms, the spiritual realm, the soulish realm, and the physical realm. That's why I believe he said that. Because, you know, brother, you know, back here when you was talking about curses, people don't understand a curse can affect us in all three realms. And I believe that's why he said that, because of the great effect that it can affect us in all three realms.
Well, do you feel or do you sense or observe that as nations are now under such stress, fear, sorrow and grief and kind of hopelessness and for looking upon the things that are coming upon the earth or happening, do you think that a spirit of bondage, hopelessness, and stress and anxiety and worry is taking hold to many people and affecting the saints too, the church world too.
Amen, brother. You know, tell you the truth, just look at this pandemic. Look at how many leaders who was, quote, assigned concerning this pandemic, they quit because one of the reasons is stress. It was too stressful, you know, being pressured, quote, to come up with a solution to the problem. Some of them, from what I've seen the last statistics, either they quit or were fired, you know.
So yeah. Most definitely. Are you aware among the professionals, the medical profession, that psychiatrists has a high rate of suicides among psychiatrists? They're supposed to be solving the problem, but more suicide
right.
among them as a profession. Wow, that's something there. So, this coronavirus was permitted and allowed, and it tested all three levels of life. It tested the church world, it tested, and the church world as a whole did not stand up too well, did it?
No, we didn't, brother. We didn't. We did not stand up too well. No, we didn't.
So that kind of gives us a glimpse where we not and where we should be, or we better be getting, right?
Amen. But you know what the other sad thing about it, brother? You know,
what is
the and I'm not trying to jump on my brothers and sisters on this, but the preaching so hard about any day you can be gone now. You know.
Oh yeah, that
is wow.
Well, you know. Yeah, that has been a popular for the last I know it's been going on the last 50 years, pretty popular, 45 years, this teaching about I don't have to worry about no real test or difficulties coming because I'll be gone. Now, some people do die early and leave the earth due death. But this teaching is talking about the born-again redeemed people. I assume that's what they're talking about. They'll be lifted out before any great trouble or stress hit the world. And so that's not working out too well, is it?
No, it's not.
And here we are. They've been told that my escape hatch is I'll be gone. So, and already we are entering into the great tribulation. We have now, hallelujah, we have now entered into the first age of the great tribulation and coming into Armageddon. And we are now going to face and see who has the real, complete depth, height, width of Christ. We're about to see. We're about to see there's going to come a division. These testing is going to separate. You know, they got money they call counterfeit money, right? And it looked just like real money. And in everything in life, there is a counterfeit or imitation. Am I right?
Amen. You're right.
Before there can be a counterfeit, there has to be a genuine first, a real first, before there can be any copycat. The devil try to copycat everything the Lord does. He try to copycat. So
yeah.
In life, they have things that looks like it, but it's not the real deal. It's like diamonds. They got what they call iconic, but they're not real diamonds. So now
right.
We're about to see who's real. Real. Who's founded on the foundation of Jesus Christ with depth, height, and width. So we're about to see this, and I'm sorry. I know a lot of people were depending. What you call that rapture thing they was counting on?
Right.
Well, I'm not telling you not to keep believing in your rapture. I'm just telling you, what if? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not telling people to get your rapture, but what if? And you were still here in 2020. A lot of people thought they'd be gone in 2020, 2000, you know, church world, they thought they'd be, the Lord go in 2000, they thought they was all expecting that we'll be out of here, you know, the end. But here we are 20 years later. Somebody is awful, little brother. 20 years later, we still here, right?
Amen.
And I'm going to make a statement that I'm going to get a lot of backlash on, brother, but it's okay. It's all good. according to Daniel's prophecy in Revelation, in Book of Revelation, we got another 20 years. I'm making these statements. I just want to get some backlash, though. No, I didn't name the day or the hour now. I'm not crazy. I didn't name the day or the hour. I didn't say nothing about the day or the hour. No man knows the day or the hour. Not even, do you know Jesus don't even know the day or the hour that he's coming? Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Right there in the book. Jesus said that the Son of Man, no one knows, not even the angels, not the top angel knows the day or the hour the Son of Man coming. No one knows but the Father. That's what the scripture said. That's what the gospel said. Nobody knows the day or hour but the Father. But the Father. Now, you wrestle with that. I ain't going to debate. I'm just going to say what Jesus said. I know you ought to know what he's talking about.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think Jesus' word is better than anybody's word. I think he's the Alpha and Omega. If anybody going to trust in anybody, well, you're going to trust in the words of our Lord Jesus. He said, no man, no angel, not even the Son of Man knoweth the day or the hour. But he did say we can know the time and the seasons. And so I'm telling you, the season is not up. And we probably got another, 20 years or more. Hallelujah. Well, we just let that alone go on because the prophecy tells us a lot of stuff about the times and seasons. Okay. Brother, do you think that the majority of the Christian world does not know concerning that very important prophecy and what it means concerning the end time and the coming of Christ, that they are not aware of this one prophecy? There's several other prophecies that Jesus said that he's not coming back until Elijah restores all things. Anybody know about that?
Oh, you know what, brother? I agree with you on that. I think that many believers don't know. And I think those who have somewhat come across it don't understand. Great men and women of God, you know what I'm saying? But who, you know, speaks against it when it's even presented it to them, you know?
Well, the Lord said not one word of his prophecy or what he said shall fail to come to pass. I mean, so I've written a lot of great prophecy experts, me being a little nobody. You know, I'm consulting, asking these great men and even women of God who are prophecy experts. And I've asked them this question. I said, do you not know that Jesus and the prophets and even the apostles says that Jesus cannot come back or will not come back this second time until Elijah first come and restore all things? Then I asked them, what is it? Tell me that has to be, tell me 1, 2, 3, 4, what has to be restored? I said, then what time period is the restoration to take place? I said, who is the person that Jesus said that must restore all things? So I never can get no real answer from these great, great prophecy brothers, experts. I just can't get no real. And I asked them I asked them about a couple other scriptures that are not yet fulfilled. I said, do you not know that these scriptures have not yet been fulfilled and they have to be fulfilled before Christ come again? I just can't get no answer, brother. I wonder why.
Well, I know one of the reasons why, because when you accept that what Jesus said, the sin of Elijah to restore all things, and you accept what he said in the scripture, that Elijah to come before the great and dreadful day, when you accept that, you would have to reject the pre-trib. Because you can't accept both of them.
Okay. Oh, I see. They have to give up some of their prognostication prophecy. They have to go back and relook at it again, I guess. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of, I guess you're right.
What some of them tell you, brother, they had what, 40,000 hours, or what, how they put it, 70,000 hours?
Yeah, they had, they have a lot of good men of God. They have a lot of good. Peter Storm is a very wonderful, gifted man, and there's several, four or five of them that are considered the top men, and four or five, and they're good men on prophecy. But anytime you're dealing with prophecy, there are men going to have to inevitably put some of their own thoughts in it, their own believing. And when you put your own thoughts and believing in some of the prophecy, you're going to come up short. Now, if you receive a direct revelation from God or from the Holy Ghost, you can mostly count on that. But The difference about prophecies, experts and commentaries, they don't get all that information directly from God or the Holy Ghost. Here's the difference between Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul says in Ephesians, I was not taught it. I didn't get this from man. I didn't get it from the rabbis or any thought. He said, this revelation that I got it directly from the Lord Jesus. Now, that's a difference. You see, that's why you can establish something securely. Paul says, the mystery that I got, I was caught up to heaven, and I was taught them by the Lord Jesus. So that's kind of a difference when he speaks. But when you speak upon what I think and what I believe, and you speak what you don't know, when there's a difference between what I think and what I believe. You got to understand.
Right.
There is a difference between I think and what I believe. Then there's another I know because I heard this directly from the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost. That's a different. That's the makes it. And so when Paul says these revelations and these mysteries, I was taught them, I was given them by the Lord Jesus. That makes a difference. Now, there are a lot of men are inspired and have the Spirit of God inspires them. That's good. But there's nothing more sure than direct revelation, direct revelations, direct visitation and revelation. That's how much of the Bible was revealed, much of the Bible. Hallelujah. Now, let me say this. Much of the Bible that we have, that we call the Bible, all of it, all the things in the Bible is not a direct revelation. Now, I'm going to get this. I like to get into controversy because I'm thinking all the things that in the book that we call the abridged version of the Bible, not everything in there is a direct revelation from God. Okay,
Amen.
Let's get off there so I can get the backlash on that. Okay. I love that, brother. Because everything that's in the Bible, God did not say. Now, everything that we read in the Bible, God did not say. Some things men say.
Right.
Some things the devil spoke of. So, every word they read in the Bible did not come from the mouth of God. If anyone can, every word they read in the book that we call the Bible, the abridged version of the Bible, every word in that did not come from the mouth of God. Now, that's easy to prove. Easy. But a lot of people say, everything that God said, no. Everything in that book they put together by these men, not every word was said. Not every word was spoken from the mouth of God. It may be under inspiration, the inspiration of the Lord, or sometimes it's the leading of the Lord, and then sometimes it's the thoughts of men and of the devil. Okay, let's move on, brother. So I don't call it enough controversy as it is. Amen. I don't say these things lightly, but I do this to serve people to go back and look and see whether I'm telling the truth. Now, if I'm a liar or I'm in error, I'd be happy for someone to correct me. If I'm lying or if I'm in error and things I say, correct me. That's all I say. You're welcome to call and correct me. I'm open to correction. I'm open for correction. All right, let's move on, brother. Handmaid's Night. Reconciliation, redemption, recovery, and restoration. All right. The women that listen, this is their night, and we're asking them this. We're going to talk about Matthew 12:25, binding and loosing. So the women are going to come, and they're going to do prayers of binding and loosing because we're dealing with the kingdom of darkness now, and we got to read a few scriptures here, brother, about binding and loosing because we're at war with the devil. war with the wickedness of the fallen nature of Adam, the sinful nature of Adam, and we're at war with the wicked one and his army. We're at war with the flesh and the nature of Adam and the will of man. But mostly we're at war with the kingdom of darkness. Satan is the head of it. In this war that's going on between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of Satan, this is what all this disturbance is about, brothers. The two kingdoms that battle at war. And we call it political war, social war, business war, all kind of stuff. But actually, it's a spiritual war. Did you understand that? People don't understand. Amen. What's going on is a spiritual war. Did you get that? Did anybody out there get that? All Amen. That's going on over the world and in the nation is a spiritual war. And the army of Christ is the army of Christ, the redeemed in the Christ, are citizens of the kingdom. They are to do war against the enemy on the earth. And they are both to, and they are going to win. Hallelujah. I said they are going to win this war against evil, against wickedness, and against Satan. Now, Satan don't want to hear that. The devil don't want to hear that. But the Bible says this, so I'm going to say the saints will win this war. There will be many casualties, and many fall away, and many will faint, but the war will be won. The elect, the remnant of Christ, will take this war to victory. That's why the coming of Elijah play a major part, and the third wave of the Holy Ghost coming, it's called the Spirit and Power of Elijah, and it hasn't yet fully come. It comes in some places overseas, but it has not come into America. America may be the seeding ground, but she hasn't received because she's not prepared. But there are many people overseas and far away are receiving the Spirit and Power of Elijah. Okay, let's move on, brother. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Amen.
So anybody have any questions? We're open. Anybody have any prayer requests? Or you want to Instagram, email, or whatever way they do it, brother, we welcome you. We welcome you from all parts of the world. Because the prayer we're supposed to be praying is found in Matthew 5. He said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, the kingdom of God is now present. It's not fully come, but it's come where we are to exact dominion and reign and rule over the powers over this earth. Why? Revelation 12 tells us that the kingdom of this world must come to an end. The kingdom of man and his rule and Satan rule over them is coming to an end. That's what you see all the fight about. Satan's stronghold over nations, over governments, over people is being challenged by this army of saints and the army of the angels. What is challenging the kingdom of darkness? The army of the redeemed Holy Ghost saints are challenging this enemy on the earth, and with the help of the Holy Ghost and the word of gospel and the angels of God, we are going to win. Can we say win?
Amen.
There's something you got to do in order to win. And it's not automatic now. There's something each individual and each group must do in order to win this battle against this kingdom. No, Mr. Trump is not going to win the battle. I just said that. The Democrats are not going to be able to win this battle. The progressive or whatever they call themselves, I'm sorry, if you look into them, you're going to be disappointed. Okay?
Yeah.
You're trusting them. You're looking, leading to them to win this battle. Now, I'm not against these offices of good and evil, but I'm telling you, if you're looking for them as a primary answer to win this spiritual battle, ain't going on. This is a spiritual battle, baby. This is a war on the earth and in the heavens. There are demons that so many thousands are in the heavens and on the earth, and we got so many millions of angels. Brother, we got so many million angels on our side. If we look around, look out your window, you see all them angels. You said, goodness gracious, let's shout.
Amen.
Look out your back door, see all the warring angels standing there. You shout, and you look up your ceiling and see the glory of God, the Holy Ghost, and the blood of Jesus. You say, whoa, whoa. You start dancing, bro. Saints start dancing. Because Jesus said, he that is, I'm greater than he that is against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? They are more than, he said, more than a conqueror. That means there's more on our side. We just got to learn how to use it. We got to learn how to utilize what's more on our side. We learn to be worrying and be in fear. That stops God from working. You know, worry and fear stops God from working, stop the Holy Ghost from working in your behalf?
Yeah.
The Bible says God has not given us the spirit of fear, Timothy 1 and 7, but love, faith, peace, power, and a sound mind. Since God has not given me the spirit of worry and fear, stress, anxiety, since he's not giving it, somebody else is giving it out. Well, make a choice, baby. When I'm worried about my kid, that ain't going to help. When I'm worried about my grandmother, that's not going to help. You could be concerned. You can have a deep concern, but the worry is going to hinder.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's human to worry. We all have a tendency to worry, but you got to get rid of it. I said you got to get rid of it if you want to enter into the victory. That's why Satan allows behind worry, stress, anxiety, and fear, because it blocks faith. It blocks the faith of God from working, which gives you the victory. So you have to learn how to conquer and defeat fear, worry, anxiety, distress, because it is a sign of unbelief. What did I say, brother?
Amen.
Unbelief.
Unbelief.
It's a sign of unbelief. And we all have wrestled with this situation to overcome this. And it's not always easy to overcome it, but you can overcome it. I have to wrestle with every area of unbelief in my life, still wrestling with some things to get to complete victory. Hallelujah. It's called recovery. One of these four, recovery. Hallelujah. Well, all right then, brother, let's got to read the scriptures where the saints come on. Then women come on to begin to bind and loose. Let's read from Matthew's chapter 12. Let's go to Matthew 12, if you don't mind, brothers. Read for me, if you please, before they come in. Matthew 12, verse 25 to 30.
Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25 to verse 30. Glory to God. Thank God for the word of the Lord. All right. Matthew chapter 25, verse 25 to verse 30. The word of God says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan casts out Satan, divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.
Okay. We set the starting point. Now let's go to Mark's Gospel of Mark 16 and 15. Gospel according to Mark chapter 16, 15, verse 18.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and verse 18, the word of God said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Okay. We're getting the word of the Lord about this war. Luke chapter, let's go to the gospel again. We're going to get a multitude of witnesses. Luke chapter 10, our brother Luke, the physician. God. Luke chapter 10, verse, 17? To 19,
Luke
I think 17 to 19.
Luke chapter 10, verse 17 to verse 19. The word of God said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you.
Wow. Wow. Let's go further, brothers, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I dropped these things just a few minutes before we came on the air, so I didn't look at them too greatly. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, 5. I just jotted them down just before I came on the air.
2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 through 5. The word of God said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Wow, we're getting a lesson here about winning this war. Now let's speak about binding. Now wait, let's go binding, Matthew 18 and 18, by binding. Now, this binding has a two-set cord. It's not one thing like we think it is. Binding and loosing. Matthew 18, verse 18, binding and loosing.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Okay. The word of God says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Okay. Giving us an idea of binding and loosing. Now, let's see. Since the war is the gains against the evil and the wicked one, who is Satan over the army of this horde of darkness, we are warring against him. Now, let's see. If you don't get into this battle and war, like the Lord command us, if you refuse as a Christian, now I understand that church people who are just church people, religious people, who are not yet in this army or citizen yet, they're just church people. But we're talking about people who have actually been adopted into the family of God and redeemed and born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, and also those that have been filled with the Holy Ghost and anointed for war also. We're not talking about sinners. Sinners can't win a war. They have to get in Christ first. They have to be saved first, so they can't war against nothing. They can't win, really. We're talking about a spiritual army that's the body of Christ, the redeemed in Christ. The warriors that has to take dominion as citizens of the king and rulers, kings, and priests in this kingdom to win this war, to do battle. Now, I want to read something here in Psalms 144, verse 1 and 2.
Psalms 144, verse 1 and 2. The word of God said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdues
in battle
my people under me.
During battle. All right, now I can't read a lot of them today, but this is enough about engaging in battle to win this war against the other kingdom the kingdom that's ruled by Satan, and it's a spiritual kingdom that's ruling over these governments and over these entities on the earth. Every nation on the earth is generally has a spiritual ruler over it. Daniel chapter 9, 10, and 11 tells us that it's a demonic prince generally over most all of the nations in the earth, most of them. Now get this straight. Second Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. First two verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the first two or three verses.
2 Corinthians chapter 4?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, and you said the first?
1 to 3.
1 to 3, okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. And the Word of God says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Now, that gives you an insight how and what and whom, where we stand, and what we must be in as the followers of Christ, between telling you that the kingdom of this world is ruled by Satan. The government, the business, the entertainment, the principal things of each nation is either ruled by a demonic prince. Daniel chapter 9, 10, 11 tells you that. Hallelujah. Now, America and few other nations were supposed to be Christian nations, which I can't get into. But when Jesus and the gospel invaded a nation, when Jesus, the gospel, and the Holy Ghost invade a nation and start taking grounds in dominion, the demons over that nation, the prince over that nation, must make war against them. They are not going to win. They may put up a stiff resistance, but they're not going to win. Those people were sent under the blood of Jesus, born again in the Holy Ghost filled and anointed, with the gospel of Christ, with power and authority. They're there to conquer, to loose, to open the doors, to bring these people into the kingdom of Christ and beat back the powers of darkness and loose the captive. Now, as soon as they step on that territory, the demon princes who are ruled over these nations and these people, and many of these people, sets his army array to stop the invaders. But I want you to read something here in Psalms 35, and then we're going to get ready to allow the women of God to learn that this army is made of men, women. It is not just men or just people that in what we call priesthood. And we're going to tell you one couple of reasons why many people have not been taught about the army of the Lord and who's in that army and what their authority is, that you've been left partially blind and ignorant to the traditions of men, and all you think you're just a church person, or you're just a beggar, and you go there to church and you beg and you bled, or you don't say anything. And we have to retrain the body of Christ, who errs and join us with Christ, about this war and how they have to put their war clothes on. Hallelujah. I said they got to put on their weapons of war. Do you understand that, brother? We understand that, Nate, right?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you got to come out of the kitchen cooking chicken, which is good, scrubbing the floors and making the church. Oh, that's nice, but that ain't going to stop the enemy. Did you get that right?
Amen.
He will come in your home. He'll come in your children. He'll come in your community. He'll come between your children, and you have to know, oh, I don't know what to do. I can't do nothing. I got to call on so-and-so way over here. See, you got to be retaught. Because you think that
Amen.
You got to call somebody else. You can call somebody to help you to pray or help you to bind. Sure, you can. But what if you can't get nobody? What you going to do?
Amen.
What you going to do? You can't call a thousand miles. Let me call Elder so-and-so. Let me call the priest. I can't do nothing. Where'd you get that at? You didn't get that from the gospel. You didn't get that from the Bible. You got that from traditions of men. That's why you got to be restored to the whole understanding of truth. Restored. Your understanding who you are in Christ and in this army. You must be enlightened and taught. Your eyes must be open that you are not only a citizen, heir, and joint heir, and your sons and daughters, you are a warrior, ready for battle, fitted, clothed. Okay, let's see. We almost got one more message, 88. Here's the angel come from heaven to authenticate, certify what is in the Bible, to bear witness. Message 88:35-39. He comes from heaven. The other angels in the Bible speak to the apostles. The prophets all speak about this. They bear witness. Message. The angel brought a message to Brother Drury Draves, the angel Elijah, 88:35-39. What does he say?
Satan's power shall be bound, and he shall have no more temptation on mankind until the reign of peace, the millennium, shall be over. Satan knows his time is short, and he will work to destroy all that he can. He will work to hinder and deceive and lay stumbling blocks for mankind to fall over. He will puff up in pride, and he will discourage in hope and hinder the faith of many if you do not watch and pray. Have faith in the words of the prophets and the Lord, and what I bring in, he will not have power over you. Therefore, come against him. Break his yoke by true belief and study the word. Obey the Lord's spirit and make ready. There will come trials, but they cannot destroy. Yea, read these words and follow through. Find worship and deliverance.
Now, I want you to, you know why the angel had to say this and spoke of this? Because for years, people had not a clear understanding of their role in the body of Christ. I said the body of Christ. Do you get that? The body of Christ is made of sons and daughters. You don't have to be ordained to a priesthood office to have a relationship as sons and daughters. What does it say? John 1:12, as many as receive or believe on him, he give them the rights to call themselves sons. In Romans 8, if you're born of the Spirit, washed in the blood and faith in Christ, he call your heirs, joint heirs, and sons. Joel prophecy 2:28, in the last day I pour out my spirits of all my sons and my daughters. Now, in the relationship in the New Testament, you are sons, redeemed sons and daughters. You're not just servants, afar off. Christ dwell in you, you in him. And Ephesians chapter 2 says you are seated in Christ in heavenly places. In heavenly places, what does that mean? High above, principality, throne, world, and angelic rule. You are seated, the body of Christ, not priests. The people who are ordained who think that they're all in all. No, the sons and daughters who make up the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. What are your place and your role in this battle to win, subdue the enemy, and take the kingdom authority in every nation, every place? Now, I'm going to end it there because we're at war. We're declaring war. And when you declare war, because you're in war, you don't have to. You can put your head in the, like an ostrich, stick your head in the wall and say, I ain't going to have nothing to do with it. The same way the war between the Democrats and Republicans is a war where demon powers and man's greed is fighting. And I'm not going to get into that. Because there's war going on in the White House, demonic, and the camp of these Republicans and Democrats, demonic influence. Uh-oh. That sounds, Brother Nate, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still there, brother?
Hey, man, still here.
They don't want to hear that there are demonic influence in the Republicans as well as the Democrats and the Socialists. People don't want to hear that. They want to say, only the demons are working in the Democrats. Brother, you are, sister, you need to take your head and stick it in the mind of Jesus before you make these statements. Because the devil don't care what party you belongs to. He don't care about your skin color. All flesh is after grass. You think the devil cares about your skin? You think the devil cares about what party you belongs to? Yeah, he's concerned about you and associated with evil. But you think that just because you call yourself a Republican, you have a defense against the devil? You may be planted on some good principles and truth, but you think that's going to stop the devil from trying to influence you? No. Okay. We're going to declare war against the enemy. We're going to declare war against the devil's war. That's what you see about the devil's war, to bring all nations down. And now the army of the Lord is about to get up. Isaiah 60, Isaiah and Joel chapter 2 said, blow the trumpet in Zion. What are we to blow, brother, in these last hours? Sound the alarm at all his holy mounting. Then he goes up, there's an army that's raising up. The Lord God is raising up. Not some little weak little servant who in there crying and moaning. That's a part of it. But now it's time to war, beloved. Put on your garments of war and the cry of war against the adversary. For the weapons of your warfare are not carnal. That's what he said in 2 Corinthians. Why is he talking about the weapons of your warfare? Okay. All right. Let's invite our dear beloved sisters on so they can do these prayers of war. And here's what they're going to war as they come on, Isaiah 35. We're going to read it so help them to know what prayers they might want to release. Then you ask the Holy Ghost, what prayers should I release? That's the Holy Ghost. And you can have the knowledge of the word of God to what you should release. Let's read Isaiah chapter 35. Let's see, Isaiah 35. And let's read some of the prayers you want to release. You might want to release against the adversary over these nations and over these people. Isaiah 35.
We starting at verse 1?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 35, starting at verse 1, the word of God said, the wilderness and a solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing.
I'm sorry.
Glory of...
Psalm 35. Sorry, brother. We'll go back quicker. That's good, but I can't get Psalm 35. I'm sorry. Psalm 35.
Okay, Psalm chapter 35. Okay, the word of God said, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he have hid catch himself, into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him.
Now, these are some of the release against demonic powers and the kingdoms in the heavens on the earth. These are some of the prayers or commands of war that you release. And against witches and warlocks, now you never war against flesh and blood using these tools to destroy men and women, but to destroy the kingdom of darkness You got to know the difference between the Old and the New Testament, how used to use prayers. And you learn this quickly from the New and Old, that as saints and redeemed in Christ, we never seek the destruction of men and women, even those that are under the influence of Satan. We only war against the demonic violence and powers, and against the witches, warlocks, against the powers that's working with them, but that the Lord might deliver them also. So these are some of the things you learn to release. As King David, teach my hand to war, my fingers to fight. So now, saints, okay, it's time for them to each, the two sisters, are they ready?
They haven't come on yet, but I'm giving them a minute.
Oh, my God. You know one thing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have met in my lifetime, I have been greatly blessed to run across some strong, Brother Nate, the strongest prayer warriors I have met has been women. I said it again.
Yeah.
I didn't say all, but a lot of the cunning women that Jeremiah said called for, the cunning women, the praying women, let them cry. I'm telling you, there is a thing that God uses women in mighty prayer and victory, and he uses men too. I'm not trying to be, you know, but I'm telling you, I have met some of the most warring, dedicated missionary women in prayer to call down the heavens. And I will tell you that I don't care nothing about no title, no person carrying no title and don't carry no weight. Did you get that?
Amen.
If I'm going to win a battle, and I'm going against the enemy, let's call for this person with this big title here. You know the devil don't care about your big title? He'll squash you. He will squash
well, let's
you.
Working on with our, let's work on one of our sisters right now. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brother.
Okay.
God bless you and bless of the Lord. I'm
good
ready.
To have you on, warrior. And where's the other warrior that's hiding?
I'll give her a minute.
Okay, this is, we gave you, I used most of your time talking about some of your warring, you're going to be warring today, releasing whatever the Lord give you to war, whatever nation, whatever area, whatever thing that the Lord put in your heart, the Holy Spirit, give you to war in this short time that you want to release a war cry against, so that you are starting out your training on warring. Hallelujah. Because it is very important that the whole body of Christ learns how to war if they are going to win the battle against the kingdom of darkness. And because he's everywhere, almost.
Yes,
amen.
God bless you, Sister Helen.
God bless. Amen.
You been listening, sister?
Been listening.
Okay, well, we're giving each of each of you have 7 minutes to use in your war. And after one is through or you use it together or whatever, you have 7 minutes to release your war against any area the Lord gives you tonight. Hallelujah. And you learn to get bold when you take the first step. When you take a step of boldness, the fear and the apprehension will leave you. And you get confidence in the Lord. All right? You have your 7 minutes. Whoever want to go first is how the Lord want to direct you. You got 7 minutes, 7 minutes apiece.
Amen. Well, amen. I want to take my 7 minutes because I'm just thinking, I praise the Lord that he's been, by getting in the Word, It's been a blessing to me to stay at home and getting in the Word has been a blessing because the Lord has given me to pray really, how to bind the strong man, to annihilate the devil, to how to conquer the devil, and that we are more than conquering. And I thank and I praise, and he's been putting on my mind about the soul ties, and I thank and I praise the Lord because we're coming tonight to really annihilate that devil. And I thank and I praise the Lord. And Heavenly Father, right now in your holy and precious name, I come to bind the strong man. I come to annihilate that devil. And I'm standing for
yes,
the Netherlands,
Lord.
For the Philippines, for Holland, for
yes,
Lebanon, for California,
yes,
Heavenly Father, right now in your holy and precious name, for the Middle East,
yes,
for California,
Jesus.
For the Ukraine and
yes.
India, Lord, the
yes.
Sudan. I come right now
yes.
to bind that strong man and to annihilate
yes,
that devil and to
yes,
break
Lord.
The strongholds,
yes,
to break, Lord God, the soul ties right now, Heavenly Father,
yes.
in your
yes.
holy and precious
yes.
name. And I come, Lord God, because you say that you have given us, that you have given us the authority, Lord God. And I'm taking the authority that you have given me, Lord God. And calling myself a son, a heir, and a joint heir, and a daughter, a father. And I come right now in your holy and precious name to bind that strong man. I come in your name right now, Heavenly Father. We come, Lord God, to conquer, because the devil is worrying. You know that you have a short time. So, God, I know that you're at work. And, Lord God, we ask you right now, hold this precious name. The Lord, help us, Lord God. Help us to stand in the gap with these people that are going to us, that the devil is doing battle against. But we stand in the gap for them. We stand in the gap. We stand in the gap tonight for them. To help them to eradicate the working of the devil. We eradicate the devil's kingdom tonight. We annihilate the devil's kingdom tonight. And we bind the strong man. We bind the strong man. And we bind him in the name of Jesus for him to need the Lord God tonight. And we bind him for Germany. We bind him tonight, Lord God, for Israel tonight. We bind that strong man for Israel tonight.
Yes.
And for Syria and North Korea, for the underground churches that are going forth. Lord God, we come forth and we stand in the gap for the women. We stand in the gap for the women and we stand in the gap for the children tonight. Lord God, they're going through and suffering. And suffering. That devil has put himself there tonight because we bind it. Because you said that two or three gathered together in your name, Lord God. You said you are in the midst. So, Heavenly Father, we come right now. We come and become the agreement and the leader that we, through your authority, Lord Jesus, because we are daughters, that we are heirs and joint heirs, and we come to eradicate and annihilate that devil's kingdom tonight. In your holy and precious name,
Jesus,
we believe your word. We believe your word.
Jesus. Thank you, Father.
With the blood, we turn unto your voice, Lord God.
Yes,
so right now, in your holy and precious name, Lord Jesus, we believe it and we stand on your word. We stand on your word because we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. And Lord, you said that we could put on the whole armor, to war against
Amen.
The devil. And we
Amen.
Stand on it, we receive it, and we believe it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes,
thank
Lord.
You, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
I truly thank the Lord Jesus for his word that went forth on tonight. And I thank the Lord Jesus for the revelation of his word. And, you know, and as I was studying some of the songs that Brother Lee was talking about, the war of Psalms, and as I was reading and studying this morning, and the Lord, he answered my prayer, because when I was reading this psalm and I was saying, you know, how David was praying the prayer, you would think with your natural mind that he was praying it against flesh and blood. But I understand tonight that he was praying those prayers, you know, against the power of the enemy. And, you know, and I thank the Lord, you know, for that word. And you know what? And the Lord had been putting North and South Africa on my heart for a while.
Yes.
And, you know, and I've been praying for them. And, you know, and I just wanted to read this little part of this song right here where it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thy anxious against the work of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green earth. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shall thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thy heart. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And, you know, I just truly thank the Lord for his word. I thank the Lord for Brother Nathaniel, Brother Ronnie, and, you know, and how the Lord had them to help me the other night. You know, I went through a situation, a challenge against the Church of Christ with the Elijah message, and things were said against the church, and, you know, that we were under false doctrine, and you know, that the people in the Church of Christ are going to have to make ready, because the enemy get ready to put us through the test, and where we stand, you know, in this gospel of Jesus Christ. And you got to know where God planted you and where he had rooted you, you know, because they try to come with everything to try to root you up off of that foundation.
Yes.
And you know what? And it will make you get in a hurry. God know how to put fire under your feet to make you get ready and get prepared to be able to defend this work and defend this gospel. And you know, and I truly thank the Lord, you know, Jesus, you know, for what he is doing in this day and time. Amen.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Thank the Lord. We are grateful for your today, dear sisters, and challenging the enemy. We have to be prepared to challenge and be built on a solid rock and foundation. And once you have been established and rooted on a real rock and foundation by the Lord Jesus, you don't. No one can uproot you. They can try to uproot you. And when you establish and you are settled in the Christ and his rock of salvation, many people will fight and attack, will accuse. But you know, you have to be standing in a place of assurance, backed up by the apostles, the prophets, by the Lord Jesus, by the Holy Ghost, by the angel's word, and most of all, Jesus has the last word. So I understand that if you don't really know this Elijah message and its plan in God's salvation, many people are ignorant of it. They confuse many things. We reject every cursed thing that everything that speaks against the apostle Paul's gospel. We do not embrace anything that speaks against Paul's and Peter's and Jesus' gospel. We don't care. We don't care any religion. What a name it goes on, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, or any, we stand on every principle of the gospel of Jesus Christ as written.
Amen.
Every false religion, I openly renounce, even though there are many good and wonderful people in these religions, there are honest, hard people in all these religions that are seeking for the way, but the foundation is rotten and of the devil. I renounce every cursed thing of Mormonism. I will not accept the lying, deceiving, the spirits of Mormonism, the curse of Roman Catholicism. I reject the cursed thing of Islam, Jehovah's Witness, Christian Science. I renounce some traditions of Baptists and Methodists, and some traditions in the Church of God and apostolic. There are some errors and traditions I renounce, but I love my brethren who stand on the foundation. I care about them, but I am going to stand on the solid rock, the revelation of Jesus Christ as Lord and the blood. I fear no man. I fear no devil, no tradition. I stand on the revelation of Jesus Christ as given in the Holy Bible in fulfillment of the Elijah message that stands today. Elijah must restore things. I don't believe any of the false doctrine, the lies of none of reorganized church or whatever they come from. I reject them totally. I reject all of it. Hallelujah. I reject the once saved doctrine by the apostolic. I reject it. I reject it that you can only know the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. I reject that error. Amen. I reject that doctrine that you can't be saved and you baptized in Jesus' name only. I reject all of these errors.
Amen.
And all of these traditions of men. I reject any group of their errors that you can't have the nine gifts of spirit, that women can't tell the gospel, can't witness to the gospel. I reject all of these traditions of men. Hallelujah. I reject anybody that rejects the nine gifts of the spirit, of the Holy Ghost, the fruits of the spirit, the words of holiness and righteousness. And I stand with the word of God in its assurity.
Yes.
And so
yes,
if people don't want to believe the Elijah message, may the Lord help them. I am no condemn them. The word of God speaks for itself. The word of God speaks for itself. No, I don't believe in no Book of Mormon. I believe in no Book of Mormon. I believe that God speaks to the record of Nephi and has added witnesses. I definitely believe in all the true things that are that stand with the Bible and the record of Nephi. If you listen, many people speak and think because of their own traditions and thinking, the Elijah message does not speak today, that it fulfills the Bible. They're not adding into the book of Revelation. This is not adding, this is fulfilling. They don't know the difference between adding, they don't know, don't add anything to the book of Revelation, don't add anything. Well, I want to tell you, dear one, we're not adding, we're just, thank God, he's fulfilling what he promised. He's fulfilling Revelation 14:6-18:1. He's fulfilling it. And you can't take it. You try to take away from it, you're going to take away your name, the truth of that. If you try to deny that and take that away from Revelation, you can lose. We're not adding. We just thank God that he's fulfilling his word, fulfilling every one of his promises. Amen.
Yeah.
We're not against the people of God. The one that's standing on the rock. We love our brothers in the Church of God, the Church of God in Christ, the Apostolic, the Faith Movement, Baptist, and the Methodists that are redeemed. They are our brothers in Christ, but they also have many, many traditions and errors in their teaching. They have to be cleansed, not only from the traditions of men, but the sins of men and the sins of this world. So therefore, we stand on the solid rock. And the solid rock of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Nobody going to move me from that. No. If you catch all of these religions, from Lutheran all the way, they have some traditions of men.
Yeah.
I love my brother in the holiness movement. I love him in the apostolic, the Pentecostal movement. Wonderful people of God. There are some traditions of men. I love the latter rain, the faith movement, the deliverance movement. They have some traditions of men. They have some tradition. They may not have many errors, a few errors, but they do have some errors that may not be major errors. But the word of the Lord, the Elijah message, come to do away with all errors and traditions of men. Oh, I got the whole truth. I got the Holy Ghost. I hold this. I don't hold this. That pride, that's pride. That's nothing but pride.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not good people. It's not they're wonderful, sincere people. You could be sincerely wrong. So thank God. We love our brothers. And I'm not going to fight or argue with you. He that has ears, let him hear.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
So now we close our broadcast hour with the love of God and the soon coming of a Christ that Elijah must come for us in the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the greatest harvest of souls. And with the prayer that we've prayed for many these nations, continue to lift up Jesus. Come lift up the gospel. Lift up your faith and the love of God to all people in all the world.
Amen.
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 Thank God for us for another blessed broadcast this night. Thank God for all you've been listening. Don't forget tomorrow night, another Heart to Heart. Look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night. So, once again, from Brother Lee and Brother Nate, Sister Tig and Sister Anderson, we love you all. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus.
God bless.
Amen. Amen. God bless. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.